All right, here we go. And a one, and a two, and welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 216, Comic Talk, and I am Chris Mosby.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I am.
Congratulations. I'm Caleb Gerard.
And I'm Murray Fox.
And we're talking to you today. Caleb's birthday today, so everybody give a shout out to him. He is 35 today.
Again. Again. I thought I had schluffed that particular. Someday I'll be 35 again.
Okay, there you go. So, you know, throw that out there. Yeah, see, there's your birthday surprise. You're 35 again. So, anyway.
At least it's not like 15 and starting high school again.
Oh,
or something.
God, yeah, that would suck. That's, yeah, I wouldn't want to go back to that either. Because I'm the oldest nephew is not even 12, and he's already going through the mopey teenage years. So, I don't know, it's because he's so much taller than everybody else, so that it's hitting faster, and he's asking me all these boy things like underarm hair, and you know, because he can't ask his mom because that would be too embarrassing. But anyway, so yeah, it's great. So let's see.
Hey, could be worse, Chris.
Yes,
could be a couple girls.
Yes, it could be. It could be worse.
Well, oh, wait a minute. That's my life.
Oh. Yeah, just you wait. Yes.
Well, I got three boys to deal with, and well, of course, my sister. I consider her a kid too. So I call your two girls and raise you two more kids.
You be careful what you wish for. One girl is plenty.
Yes, it is.
We've been watching Malcolm in the Middle here at the house lately, and OMG!
Wow. Yeah.
It's a fun show. Yeah. Try it sometime.
I've seen some of it.
You've got the three boys at your house. You got the three boys in this show.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry. Oh, no, that's fine.
Totally off topic. Oh, wait a minute. No, it's not off topic. It's totally on topic.
Yeah, it is.
We're too old to be talking about comic books. What the hell? Oh, no, we're not.
All right, let's see. We're doing just a general comic talk. We're talking about stuff that we've seen, heard, read, whatever. Maybe some Marvel stuff there. Yeah, go ahead.
Here's the thing. A couple of so DC's knocking a couple titles off their books here, so to speak. And a couple of them, Omega Men, it's getting a second life. They were going to go through issue 7 and then they're going to probably stop at issue 12, but they're claiming that it was always going to be a 12 issue series. I don't recall. I thought it was an ongoing.
I don't know. The way I read the news was they were going to honor the initial 12 issue commitment. So I got the impression when I read that, and I didn't read the details, but the tagline I read when I read that, it was like, you know, we want you for 12 issues. Now, whether it was a limited series or not, that's up to your interpretation. So maybe they're saying that now to save face.
And the same with Green Lantern Lost Army. They're claiming that it was always supposed to be only 6 issues.
Well, that I don't think is right. But I don't know. Next time I see Cullen Bunn, I'll ask him.
Would you please? Mr. Bunn, Colin.
Yes. Tell us the story.
Yeah, he goes to the closest convention I go to is up in Kansas City, Planet Comic Con. He's there every year. I know he's going to be there this year coming up. So I'll ask him, see what he says.
Corner.
Just between you and me. I won't tell anybody. Well, it'd be kind of cool to have him on the show. I mean, if he has time, because he writes everything, just about. I mean, he writes stuff for everybody. He's right.
Yeah, I'm pretty certain most of these people who are losing titles are not going to be without jobs at the end of it.
Because I know he's losing at least one, Lobo. But he writes Sinestro He writes two or three over at Marvel. He writes Shadow Volume 2 over at Dynamite. I think he's writing one for Boom. And of course, Oni Press is the sixth gun. I mean, my God,
Yeah, he'll be fine. He's just fine. Tom King will be just fine, even if Omega Men ends. And Ray Fox will be just fine after Gotham by Midnight ends. A Batman book getting canceled. Who the hell? What the?
Well, did you see what they did with the Spectre, though?
No, but I heard there was something.
Yeah, they changed it around and made it where he's not the
The Spirit of Vengeance?
No, it's like, it's basically changed him into a murderer. I'll have to find that while I'm doing some of this other stuff here.
That means they're going back to the 1940s interpretation of the Spectre, where he's just a psycho ghost, right?
If that's the way it was in the original, yeah.
Murray? Yes. Is that right? Am I misremembering my...
I thought... I don't remember the 40s. I thought he was out. I don't remember the 40s. A, because I wasn't there.
Okay.
Well, that B, because I haven't read many of them. But I thought he was always like the avenging spirit of.
Okay. That's what I thought.
But maybe they didn't go for that whole. Maybe they didn't tie it too tightly into.
Well, I didn't read that book, so. I'm not sure how they were doing it. I just know that it was the Spectre was in it. I mean, I read a couple of them. And they started that out in Batman Eternal. Let's see.
Well, it's a shame. Some of these titles are actually really good right now. Mega Man, that's a given. Doom has been, I mean, you know, I've said before.
It's
I'm
fun. Big, I like it.
I never read I'm not... Yeah, well, yeah. You said you guys liked it, but I never read it. That preview, it just didn't get to me. But hey, you know, to each his own. That's why there's three of us on here.
And then Justice League United has. I like the new format. This whole pulling people from wherever the hell they want to pull them from.
You know, that's funny because I was just about to start to try reading that, and then they cancel it. So I'm like, okay. All right, let's get to this. We got and whatever comes up, and if other things pop into your head, I'm trying to do this and look for that other thing at the same time.
I don't even know what that means.
The Spectre thing, details were. Because I actually saw the panels from the comic. But anyway, let's see. What we learned from DC's December solicitations off from Newsarama, who I usually steal from frequently. So what we got here? You got Injustice, Tom Taylor Among Us, Australian writer Tom Taylor made a name for himself as a highly sensational writer of the first year of DC's video game tie-in Injustice Gods Among Us. Oh, Caleb dropped. We will try to get
what?
Him. Yeah, he did. Damn it,
that's
Caleb.
That's crazy.
Come on back, Caleb. As well as
my phone rebooted. That was weird.
Your phone rebooted? Oh, wow. Okay.
Weird. Okay.
Let's see. Taylor left the scenes series behind some time ago, but looks like he'll be returning in December. It's billed as a one-time only, and it's going to be Taylor will write Injustice God Among Us, year 4 annual number 1. Well, that's a long time.
Yay.
Okay. Catwoman returns. Creators leave. Wasn't long ago that Catwoman took on a bold new direction. That's with quotes, air quotes, everybody. Let's do that together. Bold new direction. Places see
hand cramp.
There you go. See Selina Kyle at the head of a Gotham's criminal underworld, but now with new creative team Frank Thierry and Inaki Miranda taking over, looks like Selina will be leaving the life behind and returning to action as Catwoman. I never did understand. I mean, that was an interesting concept, but
I liked how her shirt didn't button. That was always a
yeah. I think that was one of her weaknesses or something. Anyway, more her superpowers. Actually, that would be a superpower, I guess, wouldn't it? We got, solicitation for Catwoman number 47 teases Selina leaving the mob scene behind to go after the biggest score of her life. Okay, back to the...
I actually don't give a hoot.
I don't either. For fans of a certain age, Dick Grayson and Starfire are something of an iconic comic book couple. The relationship has been central to the classic era of New Teen Titans. Their status as a couple and as Teen Titans have largely been up in the air since the onset of the New 52, with only brief reference to a possible past relationship being made in Red Hood, Red Hood in the Outlaws. However, the solicitation for Starfire number 7 bills Dick's appearance in the title as a reunion. It shows them standing side back to back, and she's got a lit up finger, and he's got a pistol. Let's see. With Titans Hunt looking to be pre-Flashpoint Teen Titans continuity, could there be some revelations about Dick and Starfire's past in the works? They just had, and I haven't read it yet, I'm a couple issues behind, but they just had Grayson return to Gotham, and I assume that's setting up for the Robin War. And I guess he's going to let them know that he's still alive. Let's see. Swamp Thing received a bump in popularity with a new solo title, was included in the launch of the New 52. But the character has fallen by the wayside since his book ended with number 35. See, that's how much I love that character. I didn't even know that it ended.
Ooh, that's dark. That's cold.
Yeah,
that's
sorry, cold. But it is. Anyway, now the Avatar of the Green is poised. Oh, God, I hate that word. Poised to return to the DCU with the guest spots in both Constantine and Secret Six. Constantine and Swamp Thing have long been associated with Constantine actually having debuted in the Saga of the Swamp Thing number 37 in 1985. Still, the relationship is strained, a fact made clear by the solicitation of Constantine the Hellblazer, number 7. Anybody reading that?
Yes.
No.
Pretty good?
Oh, yeah?
I am. Okay. It's actually really good. I don't know how it fits into the DC Universe, and I think with this new post-convergence stuff that there is no...
Yeah,
they've gone back to they don't care about continuity, and I think with this particular book, that's fine. I'm shocked that they didn't switch it back over to being a Vertigo book, but I'll be honest with you, I'm not clear as to what Vertigo represents anymore. So
yeah, well I haven't read it yet, but this last Comic Book Day they released a free preview of Vertigo, so I don't know, maybe there's something in there that'll is a hint to that.
Yeah, but it's good. It's good. It's creepy, it's, you know, he's a jackass, and...
Oh, that's about normal.
He's very, you know, there's a lot of, you know, sexual innuendo, or not even innuendo, just straight on, hey, here it is. I'm having fun with the book.
Okay.
And the art is just weird enough that it fits perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Alright. Good to know.
I don't know if I highly recommend it, but I would say if you were formerly a Hellblazer Constantine fan prior to the New 52, they're trying to accommodate you.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that's always
whoever
good.
Whoever you are. Whoever that you are.
Yeah, whoever that magic you is. Okay. Good to know. Let's see. Very, meanwhile.
Close relation to they.
Okay, they. Okay. Meanwhile, it's also not surprising Swamp Thing would team up with the Secret Six, given that the team's connection to DC's mystical side. Having once made their headquarters in this House of Secrets, well, that was how many continued days ago was that? This time it seems like Black Alice's magical abilities may be the catalyst for the team up in Secret Six number 9. Little Swamp Thing action going on there. Deathstroke may be one of DC's most high-profile villains, especially with his appearances on Arrow. But that doesn't mean he doesn't have enemies of his own. Speaking of Deathstroke, did you guys hear about that Manu Bennett guy getting arrested?
Ooh, no.
Yeah, I guess he had some kind of throwdown at one of the cons. Beat the crap out of somebody.
But apparently... Fire stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, but it's not exciting.
No, it's not exciting. It just, you know, apparently wasn't too severe because I saw he was in a panel with the Stephen ML later on, so not a big deal. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he dressed his Thing Wonder Thing 2 from Dr. Seuss or something?
I don't know what happened, but he got into a fight with somebody.
It's just ridiculous getting into a police-involved altercation at a Comic-Con.
I don't know if he was at the con specifically, oh, okay. But, I mean, he was there appearing at the con, but anyway, I never did see what happened after that. They didn't really give that much detail. Okay. Except for he was arrested. Okay.
I'll stop laughing now. Just the ridiculousness of it is...
Yeah. Let's see. The solicitation for December's Deathstroke, number 13, teases the arrival of an all-new villain to challenge Slade Wilson. And one of the solicitation teases, this could end his mission against the Suicide Squad altogether. All new could mean a legitimate new character, or perhaps a pre-Flashpoint villain returning, or even a current character becoming a villain. Okay, so that's absolutely non-news right there. Sorry about that. Let's see. Now, this might be... Yeah. No less than 8 titles are ending for DC in December. Several of these titles were foreshadowed ahead of the release of the December solicitations. More like Batman 66, Sensation Comics, and Green Lantern Lost Army weren't revealed until the solicitations came out. Some of the titles, such as Doomed, Omega Man, Lobo, and Gotham by Midnight, which we've already talked about, Omega Man got back, have consistently been among the publisher's lowest-selling titles, while Justice League United and Green Lantern Lost Army fared slightly better. Let's see, the real outliers are the two digital titles, Batman 66 and Sensation Comics, both of which have enjoyed critical success. So there's hope for Batman 66 yet, as December also sees the launch of a new crossover miniseries. These cancellations could be seen as a rejection of some of DC's newer DCU, air quotes, direction. Kevin Spike sales the way the publisher hoped, or could simply signal that DC is cutting the low-hanging fruit to focus on more lucrative titles, like adding 2 more Harley Quinn books.
Are you kidding? We watched Batman 66 the other night. Funny. Oh, yeah. So bad.
I haven't seen that in a long time. Like, I'm sure the kids would love it, though.
My 8-year-old loved it. She had a great time.
Yeah. That was my first exposure to Batman, before I knew any better. Let's see. Joe Madureira. I don't know how he spelled that.
Joe Mad.
Mad, yeah. Joe Mad is back. Hasn't worked at DC since penciling Superman Batman number 26 back in 2003. Wow, that's a long time.
Can I just interrupt you here and say that this particular piece is as much news as that Deathstroke one?
Is it? Okay.
This is he's doing a cover.
Oh, is that it?
That's it. He's doing a cover.
Wow. Okay. Well, he's doing a cover. I always kind of liked his art, though. So, Justice League America number 7. So, yeah. Okay. Well, they should have spaced the cancellations out and added those in, you know, into these. You know. Let's see. Forever Evil again. Crime Syndicate invaded the main DC Earth in Forever Evil. They were.
What was that, Murray?
Yeah. That wasn't near. I mean, we covered the crap out of that. It wasn't near as good as I was hoping it'd be.
That was a long 7 months for a really short story.
Yeah, no kidding. A typical.
It was a story? Oh my God! Wait a minute.
Well, yeah, the last issue had it all, but.
My bad, I blinked.
They started it in issue 1 and finished it in issue 7, and they drew it out the rest of it, which is typical of John's, it seems.
And when you think about it, it wasn't even 7 months. It was like 7 months plus Justice League, because the Justice League issues were all total tie-ins, and it was a long time to tell a very tiny story.
And all it really did was kill off Nightwing. Not really.
And it didn't even do that.
No, not really, no. He just, you know. Okay, let's go.
But now we're going to get the extended Darkseid War for the next 15 months or something.
Yeah, so basically the one that fled was the Anti-Monitor. I'll wrap it up. He's made it to Earth 1. Solicitations for Justice League 47 may have turned to the crime. Justice League may have to turn to the Crime Syndicate for help. Yay! According to the solicitation, it's Wonder Woman who will bring the villains who almost conquer the world into conflict. That's hardly surprising, considering Wonder Woman has traditionally been willing to take extreme measures that other Justice Leaguers would shy away from. And they got Luthor's in that too. They got him in the picture.
He's gonna break a neck.
Let's see. Jason Todd versus Tim Drake in a cage match. That's actually the tagline in, yeah. Jason Todd has exactly been the most friendly member of Batman's crime-fighting family, but December's We Are Robin number 7 takes the strained relationship between Todd and the rest of the Robins to a whole new level, putting him against Tim Drake in a steel, and it's quoted, steel cage match. Oh, my God. Oh, it's going to be on pay-per-view. The story, part of the Robin War crossover, has the Court of Owls sending Todd and Drake into a fight to the death. One DC seems to imply will both will not survive. How likely is the DC Universe will be down to a Bat family member in December? Well, Tim Drake and Jason Todd are both headliners for Teen Titans and really an Arsenal. So I think one of them would be a bold move. Yeah, because then whatever. We already talked about that. Number one, Bye Bye Batman. Batman 66 will find time to cross over with another TV show, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. That's it for that, really.
I haven't seen that movie. Have you seen that movie?
The new one? No, I heard it wasn't all that good, but, you know, that doesn't mean I'm not going to go see it. Let's see.
A single dad friend of ours goes to all these movies and... He was not impressed.
Not impressed with it. Yeah, I heard it was... I don't know. Let's see what we get from Marvels now. What we learned.
We learned everything's $3.99.
Yeah.
$4.99.
Viva Deadpool.
$4.99. We wish it were $3.99.
Yeah, the solicitation for Deadpool 3.1, or rather, Deadpool 3.1. Oh, good lord.
Hey!
Makes mention of Massacre, the Deadpool of Mexico, a vigilante inspired by Wade Wilson. Incidentally, Tres Puto Uno is all in Spanish. Pardon me.
It's written in Spanish by guys who don't know Spanish.
Awesome. It's created by a group of people who don't actually speak the language. Interesting. Considering the number of Spanish language creators Marvel actually has in its stable. Yeah, that's a great way of diversity there, dude.
That's funny. Politically incorrect American comic of the year.
Yeah, writer Tom Beilen was responsible for a number of original Spanish language one-shots and series starring Spider-Man and Fantastic Four, so we know Marvel's got it in them, not to mention the growing number of artists from Spanish-speaking background. Wow, that's hilarious.
You may actually try a Deadpool comic, it sounds like. No? Yes? Maybe?
No, I didn't say it was that interesting. It was just
okay.
Let's see. Previous solicitations, we noted the strange absence of Gamora from the lineup of the new Guardians of the Galaxy series. Now, for Guardians of the Galaxy number 3, mentions that Gamora is back. Okay. Look at the rest of them and might see where she's been. She also appears on the Contest of Champions number 3, ensconced in one of Maestro's summoning pods. Yay. The Green Goblin goes to Africa in Amazing Spider-Man number 4. Okay, big deal.
No, wait. Why are you laughing, Murray? Huh.
That just sounds very We Are the World, very, you know, yeah. Band-Aid.
Yeah, it does.
Hey, see, all the Marvel heroes gathering together, doing a big sing-along for charity.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah, I was picturing that song, the song by Toto, for some reason. I don't know.
Okay.
Also a good one.
Okay, let's see. This is good. Marvel announced Red Wolf's new ongoing series, spinning out of the 1872 title. Or limited series. Company made it very clear the Red Wolf would not be associated with any actual Native American tribe, but with a fictional people originating in the 1872 universe. However, the solicitation of Red Wolf number 1 identifies Red Wolf as Cheyenne, a tribe that is very real. Did plans change? And if so, is Red Wolf now Cheyenne? Or was the real world connection dropped without a fix to the solicitation?
That book is gonna piss somebody off. Somebody's gonna get mad about that.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it already has.
Prediction.
Let's see. Spider-Woman meets Spider-Woman. The solicitation for Spider-Gwen number 3 teases a meeting between Gwen Stacy and Jessica Drew, a.k.a. Spider-Woman. And from the looks of things, it's the 616 Spider-Woman she's calling on.
Because she's preggers.
Yeah, she it shows her on the cover here.
Honestly, the Spider-Gwen thing, mm-hmm. what is that, like the most popular, yeah. or the second most popular cosplay costume right now or something?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right after Harley Quinn.
Yeah. It also mentions Gwen's involvement in the Spider-Verse, which could be adding more fuel to the interdimensional fire. Is this the first example of a new alternate reality interacting with all new, all different Marvel Universe, especially given her, okay, other appearances in
the
Web
Warriors?
We didn't
start the fire.
Squirrel Girl versus Censored. She's fighting somebody. That's pretty much all it says. Don't know. Yeah.
I gave up on Squirrel Girl. I'm sorry.
Okay. When all new all
you
different...
thought she was nuts.
Okay. Here we
I'm
go.
I'm sorry, Murray. You're breaking up. Oh, hey, we lost Murray. That's a shame.
All right. With the all new all different Marvel.
The anti pun software kicked in there. Thank yeah. you, Chris.
Oh, okay. it picks up with Johnny Storm and Medusa will have been an item for some time. Kind of awkward considering Johnny also dated Medusa's younger sister, which we did balk at that when we mentioned it before. And the new Marvel Universe sees the return of Medusa's estranged husband, Black Bolt. Let's see. A no-hold-barred confrontation between Black Bolt and Johnny Storm. Oh.
Well, for sure.
It's not clear whether they'll be fighting over Medusa, but Black Bolt isn't exactly the type to let things go. Yeah, he doesn't really talk that much, does he?
you know what, though? No. Medusa totally had it made. Mm-hmm. Like, when they were married and she was queen, she just got to tell everyone what to do because this is what Black Bolt wants because she's the only one that can understand him. That's, like, the ideal position. Mm-hmm. He can't say a word against it.
Without killing
everybody.
Can't
speak without blowing everything up. Mm-hmm. And she just gets to run the place on Black, whatever, what's his name? Black Bolt say so. That's like ideal. Mm-hmm. She gets all the glory. She doesn't have to take any of the pain. She's got it made.
You know what he needed to get? He needed to get one of those little miniature whiteboards and he could write out his instructions on it.
That's awesome.
That's true. That is true. Yeah, and like in this day and age, he could have Siri going around. He could have his iPhone out mm-hmm. issuing commands, like boom, boom, boom.
There you go.
No wonder she dumped him.
Talking like Stephen Hawking.
Okay, now this one I'm interested in.
So the geek in me is saying that Johnny Storm has no chance in hell.
No, not taking Black Bolt's like a.
He's an alpha.
Yeah, an alpha level. Yeah.
At least.
Johnny's no slouch, but he's too arrogant, I think, to win a battle against him.
Black Bolt says his name and he destroys a city.
Yeah. Okay.
No. Johnny's had like his own series a couple of times. That trumps.
Yeah.
That trumps Black Bolt.
Well, if they did a Black Bolt series, it would just be a bunch of issues of like. No talking panels.
Oh, it'd be those silent issues. I would hate it.
Mm-hmm. It'd be like a stupid Groot series going on right now. So,
oh, is that what the Groot series is like?
No, it's not. There other characters are talking. They're all pulling the Medusa role in the Groot series, where they say what they think Groot is saying. Though they did reveal in issue 2 how Rocket Raccoon can understand what Groot is saying.
Oh, how he understands it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
So,
you're saying Groot, and I'm picturing Gru, that warrior by.
Okay.
The Sergio Argonis character.
Yeah. I couldn't make the connection at all. But what? I get it. Tree Man. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's got great. It. It's Groot, Groot and Rocket in the role of Gru and Rufio.
So are we all caught up then? You're with us now, Murray?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, now this one here I'm actually interested in. I don't remember who's actually writing it. Devil's Advocate.
Soul. It's Charles Soul. Soul.
Okay, I think I've had off and on with him as writing it before, but anyway, all new, all different Marvel finds Matt Murdock back in Hell's Kitchen, which with a new sidekick from Chinatown. But the solicitation for Daredevil number one was the first mention of the character's possible code name, Blindspot. And in the picture, it shows the character standing by him. It's worth noting that there was another Blindspot in Marvel lore, a mutant spy, though it seems more likely that the solicitation would be referring to Daredevil's new protege than a lesser-known character with no connection to Murdoch's world. Okay, that's another non-thing.
I want to see how they get him back to New York, because But Wade worked really hard to get him out of New York.
Well, yeah, he did. And, well, I mean, Daredevil's character is pretty much destroyed after the end of that. I don't know how that's going to work.
Plus, he also set up a whole future world for Murdoch in San Francisco, so.
Yeah, it seems like he did, didn't he?
So, anyhow.
Anyway, I'm kind of interested to see what they do with that. Let's see. Deadpool's solicitation for Deadpool number 3 teases a whole host of cameos that readers won't recognize unless you're intimately familiar with the Marvel Encyclopedia. Fortunately, we are, so we decided to take a stab at figuring out who's under all those Deadpool masks. The guy with the hammer is obviously Slapstick. Guess that the guy in the suit is Hit Monkey, followed by Leather Boy, Madcap, Terror Inc., and finally we were betting the guy at front is Solo. That makes sense.
Leather Boy?
Yeah, that's new one on me, man.
It says to Google it, but I'm not even going to type Leather Boy into my phone.
No, I wouldn't do that at work either, if you're listening, unless it works.
You coward.
Yeah, that's bad. Yes. Mojo.
Hey, you work at a school, Murray. I triple dog dare you.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, I'm not going to do it on a school computer.
All right.
Not under my account anyway. I know all my students' account names, so.
Hey, kids, just look what Mr. Fox has pulled up on his computer.
Yeah, on my computer under someone else's name and account.
Oh, well, there
I'm going to figure out which kid bugs me the most on one day and then just zip in.
Man.
Okay, Billy, you've been suspended for looking up Leather Boys on your... What? I wasn't doing that. I wasn't even at school that day. I was homesick.
Next time on the next episode of Bad Teacher.
Revenge. Revenge cast.
Oh, Lord have mercy, dude. Okay, this one I'm kind of interested in, some of what they're doing with the mutant stuff. Even though I've heard that they're supposed to, you know, well, because of they don't own the rights to a lot of it, they're cutting back, but whatever. Previous solicitations for several X-Men titles have been mentioned of the struggle between mutants and inhumans. And, oh, call dropped again.
What?
Caleb, come back!
Because he's a mutant.
Yeah.
And you're an inhuman.
Excuse me, but Terrigen Mist got a hold of Caleb. We got him back. What I've read...
He's his phone.
Oh. What I've read about what they're talking about is that I guess Terrigen Mist's killing mutants, I think, or something like that. But anyway, let's see. Mutants and Inhumans with the dire conscious circumstances of mutant kind. But the solicitation for all new X-Men number 3 makes mention of, quote-unquote, terrible acts committed by Cyclops. While this could refer to some of the stuff Cyclops has done in the past, recent revelations from about the effect of the Terrigen Mists are having on mutants, and in context of the solicitations made it seem more likely that Cyclops, still missing from the new Marvel Universe, may have done something bad in the 8th-month gap following Secret Wars. And that's it. Of that. Pardon me. Crap. That's terrible. My bad. So... What else we got? Missing titles. So what do we think about all that, boys and girls?
It's another month.
Yeah, I gotcha. Have you seen any of the solicitations for or any of the pictures and stuff for the new Jessica Jones TV show, or maybe even Luke Cage? You seen any of that?
There have been a couple of trailers or something, or pictures, or I haven't looked at them yet for Jessica Jones. They've been posted.
Yeah, they're just, they're pretty short. They're not that big of a deal, but it's kind of interesting. It looks like an interesting show. I didn't really...
I finally finished Daredevil and Flash in the last couple weeks, so...
Yeah.
Really looking forward to the new season Flash starting up, and Jessica Jones, I'll binge watch that one just like I did Daredevil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they'll do the same thing. They're going to release all of the episodes all at once. So.
Yep.
What was I going to say? Yeah, Daredevil kicks ass. The Jessica Jones one looks good. And I never paid much attention to that character before. I didn't understand what the deal was, but I guess she was an ex-superhero, then her powers, she had some kind of trauma that kept her from, she stopped being a superhero. And I guess she's got PTSD, that's how they're going to play it in the show. So, interesting. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's about it.
I'm actually, of those, the one I'm looking forward to, and I think they probably you are as well, as the Iron Fist one.
Oh,
but that's,
absolutely.
That's at least a year out at this point. So.
Yeah, that's true. I can't
wait for
that.
I think that's the last one of the four.
I have to admit, I think Iron Fist is probably my favorite Marvel character, I'd have to say. Probably Spider-Man would be right behind. Well, they're probably, Spider-Man, Iron Fist. I really like Iron Fist.
There's a new Iron Fist series starting up at Marvel, so.
Well, I know there's that one that guy did the writing and art. I didn't really care for it.
Nope.
Is that one ending and they're starting over again?
Yep.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yep.
Good. I hope it's good.
Post Secret Wars.
Huh. Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. I'll have to check out the latest on what's coming out. But let's see. Yeah, because I got the Essential Collection of Iron Fist. It's got all the origin stuff. And I'd actually had those first three or four issues of his origin and never read it past that. And, oh, man, I love those things. Those Essential Collections kick ass. And it came out the same time as the Power Man and Iron Fist Essential Collection, both Volume 1s. And several months ago, I picked up this thing called Iron Fist, The Return of Kun Lun. And it's basically just a bunch of a collection of miniseries and, you know, series. And you know, things like that.
Cool.
So it's pretty cool. Anyway, that's about it. I'm thinking this is going to be a short one.
Yeah, sorry.
Right.
No, that's cool. We talked it up, and it was kind of a half-assed thing anyway this week.
catch-up.
Yeah, playing catch-up. I've a lot of crap going on. But anyway, that's about it for this week. Anybody, you guys got anything?
I don't. Nope, I don't.
Okay, all right. Then, as always, you can send us an email at podcast@talesfromthelineboss.com and let us know what you think there. Or join us on our Facebook page and let us know what you think. Or, you know, just join the conversation. I stole that, too. Anyway, that's been the actual episodes. You can comment on there, too. You just got to sign up and give me your email and all that good stuff, and you can do that. And that's it for this week. And we are out.